Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I stay excited and am thrilled because tonight we will continue our study in the book of Job. And you know, Job is a book that identifies a lot of reasoning, and we will hear how Job was confronted by his three friends in why he was suffering from what God had allowed Satan to do to him. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, your tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. The host has graciously established a platform for that, which is our chat room. Now, before we get started, as I always do, I am personally thanking you all who are out there that have taken the time to give me feedback on this particular show. The comments and the advice that you're giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using, and I thank you so very much, and please continue to do that as you will. Now, our theme for the show suggests the question for this hour is, and it always is when we start, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's taken from Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Now, the blessing is, of course, the fulfillment of the seeking that you are required to do if you are going to receive the righteousness of God. Jesus said again, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. That's taken from Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. And still again, the promise is that if you are merciful, you will be blessed, and you will also obtain mercy. Jesus said again, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. And again, the promise and the blessing is that if you keep your heart pure, then you will see God. That is keeping his commandments. That's how you keep your heart pure, my brothers and sisters. Now, the question again, Are you standing on God's promises? Now, before we get to the lesson, I want to, as I do, tell you, and I rehearse it for you constantly, it is critical that the Bible is written in code. That means written in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break this code is through study and learning. And that's why we've come here tonight together, to study and learn together. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's go to the study. Turn your Bible sources to Job chapter 4. And we're going to be looking at verse 1 through 9, Job chapter 4. And what I want you to do is I want you to keep in mind this particular instruction. This is what the scripture reading is going to draw from. Listen, Eliphaz, the Temanite, reasons with Job. This is the first of his friends that tries to convince Job and convict Job of sin by reasoning with, I might say, human rationale. This is what Job chapter 4, verse 1 through 9 tells us. It says, then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, if we essay to commune with thee, wilt thou be grieved? But who can withhold himself from speaking? Behold, thou hast instructed many, and thou hast strengthened the weak in hand. Again, he's reasoning with Job why Job is in trouble with God. Thy words have upholden him that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. But now it is come upon thee, and thou faintest. It touches thee, and thou art troubled. Is not this thy fear, thy confidence, thy hope, and thy uprightness of the ways? Remember, I pray thee, who ever perished being innocent? Or where were the righteous cut off? Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. But by the blast of God they perish, and by the breath of his nostrils are they consumed. So Eliphaz is telling Job that he had to have sinned against God and for him to be in the predicament that he's in. And now I ask you to, I'm going to give you an amplification of this with King Solomon. This is what King Solomon has to say concerning reasoning. And this is critical because this is why we are seeking the wisdom of God, to ensure that we do use his wisdom to offset what we think ourselves about what is happening in our lives that may be controversial or adversarial. Listen to what King Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 21 through 26. Solomon says, my son, let not your eyes depart. My son, let not them depart from your eyes. Now, he's talking about wisdom of God, knowledge of God, and he's talking about the understanding of God. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy neck and grace to thine soul. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. My brothers and sisters, continuing, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the dissolution of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and it shall keep thy foot from being taken. My brothers and sisters, even though things are happening to you that are contrary to what we would say good health or righteousness, still, you who are following the commandments of God, hold tight to that walk, because that is going to get you through this. And that's what King Solomon is saying. Now what we're going to do is we're going to go to 2 Corinthians And we're going to see how Paul said the same, or how he addressed by reasoning what be happening to you, and you should make sure you stay the course if you are following God's commandments. This is what Paul said in 2 Corinthians. I see that we are at the first break. Let's take that break, and then we will continue with the lesson.
No found grace in the eyes of the Lord. No found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That is the reason the scripture is recorded. No found grace in the eyes of the Lord. No found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
There was a place in biblical times called Gadara. There was a man there who was possessed with a legion of devils. Depending upon which authority you read after, that can be from 3,000 to 6,000 devils. So we'll be conservative. We'll take 3,000. This man has got 3,000 devils inside of him. And he is naked. He has cut himself with stones. He walks and lives and sleeps among the dead. And anybody who serves the devil lives among the dead. He cuts himself. But Jesus steps on board the little ship. And he sets his sail toward Gadara. And when he lands in Gadara, the maniac comes running. And here's the thing that is incredible to me. He's got 6,000 devils. But the man, in spite of the habitation or inhabitation of 6,000 devils, his human spirit wanted to worship. And the Bible says the man came and worshiped. 3,000 to 6,000 devils could not stop him from worshiping. The devil cannot stop you from worshiping if you want to worship. He came and he worshiped. He came and he worshiped. And the Bible says in the end of that story that the maniac was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're looking at the instruction that says Eliphaz, the Temanite, reasons with Job. And now what we're going to is our New Testament complement to connect the dot on how Eliphaz reasoned with Job and how Paul is telling the Corinthians to be careful that the reasoning be of godliness, meaning following scripture as your reasoning tool and not following your own mind. And this is what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 12 through 17. Listen, my brothers and sisters. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasions, that wherein they glory, that they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting. What Paul is saying is be careful with men reasoning with you, because if that's the case, you will end up default. Now listen, this is what I want you to get from this particular instruction, that physical or worldly rationale can dissuade you concerning your spiritual convictions. So beware. My precious brothers and sisters, physical, manly, worldly rationale can dissuade you concerning your spiritual convictions. We must beware. And that's exactly what happened to Job, and we're going to learn more about that. Let's turn our Bible sources back to Job chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verse 13 through 18. Job chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. A good vision. Okay? This is still Eliphaz trying to reason with Job. And don't misunderstand me. The reason that I'm going through this so intimately or insightfully is because the rationale is good, but it's not godly. And that's the discrepancy. That's where we fall short of the glory of God. We do add one and one to make two, but God does not always use that for spiritual welfare. And that's what I'm trying to establish here. So a good vision, this is what Eliphaz continued to say. Verse 13 through 18, he said, in thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falleth on men, fear came upon me in trembling, which made all my bones to shake. Then a spirit passed before my face, and the hairs of my flesh stood up. It stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before my eyes. There was no silence, and I heard a voice saying, shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? That is excellent reasoning. Shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? But again, if you do not apply it spiritually, then it is of no consequence because physically it does not fit. And that is what this particular good vision is talking about. Now we're going to go to Psalms. Turn your Bible sources with me to Psalms 103. And what I want to do, I mean, Psalms 104. And what I'm going to do is read these verses just to amplify this good vision procedure. Verse 1 through 4, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who covers thyself with light as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire. He continues with verse 24, O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom thou hast made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. And 31 through 34 completes the thought. The psalmist is saying, the glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. He looketh on the earth, and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills, and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. This is telling us, my brothers and sisters, the good vision is the spiritual vision coming from God. Now let's look at our New Testament complement, and we're going to see how it compares and agrees with this good vision. Turn to John chapter 14, and we're going to be looking at verse 1 through 4, John chapter 13. Listen, the vision that Jesus gives us, spiritual. Jesus says, let your hearts be not troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will return again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. This is excellent advice that Jesus has given us, my precious brothers and sisters, Let's go to verse 12. It continues. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And then verse 23 concludes the thought. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. My precious brothers and sisters, this is a stupendous vision of how to follow the Lord God Almighty and receive the glory of God that comes with obedience. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. That if the difference between a good vision and a bad vision is discernment, meaning the wisdom of God. That is what we should be all about, my brothers and sisters. Not the wisdom of man, not the wisdom of the world, but the wisdom of God. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn your Bible sources back with me to Job chapter 5, or are we going to look at Job chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 1 through 5, and what I want you to do is keep in mind this instruction as I read the text to you. Sin brings destruction. Did you hear what I said, my brothers and sisters? Sin brings destruction. And we are all have fallen short of the glory of God. We're all imperfect. We're all sinful. And that brings destruction. And that's one reason the flesh dies, is because of sin. So let's hear what Job chapter 5, verse 1 through 4 has to say concerning this. It says, call now, if there be any that will answer thee, and to which of the saints wilt thou turn? For wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one. I have seen the foolish taking root, but suddenly I cursed his habitation. I see that we're at the second break. Let's take that second break, and then we'll continue with this instruction. Well, I see that the host has not converted over to the break, so we'll continue. We're going to continue.
Don't find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Don't find grace in the eyes of the Lord. That is the reason the scriptures record. Don't find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Don't find grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Well, the Lord looked down from his window in the sky and said,
I created man, but I don't remember why. Nothing but fighting situation day, and I'll send a little water and I'll wash him all away.
So the Lord came down to look around a spell, and there he found Noah behaving mighty well.
Sometimes you need to get knocked down before you can really figure out what your fight is and how you need to fight it. Sometimes you need to feel the pain and sting of defeat to activate the real passion and purpose that God predestined inside of you. God says in Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Hear me well on this day. This day when you have reached the hilltop and you are deciding on next jobs, next steps, careers, further education. You would rather find purpose than a job or a career. Purpose crosses disciplines. Purpose is an essential element of you. It is the reason you are on the planet at this particular time in history. Your very existence is wrapped up in the things you are here to fulfill. Whatever you choose for a career path, remember the struggles along the way are only meant to shape you for your purpose. When God has something for you, it doesn't matter who stands against it. If it's meant for you, God will move someone that's holding you back away from a door and put someone there who will open it for you. I don't know what your future is, but if you are willing to take the harder way, the more complicated one, the one with more failures at first than successes, the one that has ultimately proven to have more meaning, more victory, more glory, then you will not regret it. Press on with pride and press on with purpose and appreciate what God has brought you through.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher. Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're back at it. The instruction is sin brings destruction, and we're using our Eliphaz is using human or man reasoning in order to convince or convict Job of sin. And so his reasoning is good, and we're going to look at what he says about that in Job chapter 5, verse 1 through 4. Listen to what it says. It says, call now, if there be any that will answer thee, and to which of the saints wilt thou turn? For wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one. I have seen the foolish taking root, but suddenly I cursed his habitation. His children are far from safety. They are crushed in the gate. Neither is there any to deliver them. Whose harvest the hungry eateth up and taketh it even out of the thorns, and the robber swalloweth up their substance. And this is what verse 12 through 14 concludes. He disappointed the devices of the crafty, so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. He taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the froward is carried headlong. They meet with darkness in the daytime and grope in the noonday as in the night. This, my brothers and sisters, is Eliphaz telling Job that sin which he has committed is convicted through God, and that God sees all. And that is true. Okay? Now let's go to Genesis chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 3 through 12, and listen to how God put it to Cain. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou dost well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall his desire be, and thou shalt rule over him. My brothers and sisters, continuing with what Cain said, and Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive the blood, your brother's blood, from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto you her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And again, this is telling us that sin brings destruction. And we can see directly how this impact came when he killed his brother Abel. Now let's go to our New Testament complement. Turn with me to James, and we're going to see how this compares and agrees with that Old Testament in James chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 13 through 16. Listen to what James says to say. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. So you can see what happened with Cain and Abel. That's exactly what transpired. Sin brings destruction. And let's complete the thought. Let's go to verse 19 through 21 in James, first chapter. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluities of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your very souls. My brothers and sisters, what we're looking at is that God's rationale, God's reasoning, scripture is what we should be using in our attempts to reason what is happening to us and why. All right. This is what I want you to get from this particular instruction, that sin kills the physical body and also tries to kill the spiritual soul. But thank God for the repentance through Jesus Christ that saved the soul. My brothers and sisters, you may not realize that, but we are condemned to die twice, physically and spiritually. Jesus came that we only die physically and the spirit is saved. And that's what I want you to understand from this instruction. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Job. We're going to be looking at Job chapter 5 again. And we're going to, this time, read verses 15 through 17. Job chapter 5, verse 15 through 17. And what I want you to do is I read the text to you, keep this instruction in mind, because this is what I want you to understand from the reading of the scripture. The poor and chastised God delivers. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? The poor and chastised God delivers. And so this is what Job chapter 5, verse 15 through 17 says about that. And this, again, Eliphaz is still reasoning with Job why he sinned against God. But he saveth the poor from the sword, from their mouth, and from the hand of the mighty. So the poor hath hope, and iniquity stoppeth her mouth. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. So, and that is absolutely correct. But again, to use God's scripture to reason out what is happening to you and not what man is telling you the reason is. You follow what I'm saying, my brothers and sisters? Listen to what Proverbs chapter 3 again says. We're going to go to Proverbs chapter 3, and it's going to give us more of an understanding of this poor and chastening that God gives us. Chapter 3, verse 11 of Proverbs, this is what it says. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correcting. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighted. So again, God is going to chasten us because of our ungodliness, because of our disobedience. Verse 33 through 35 gives us the complete understanding of this. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Again, we must make sure that we are following scripture and applying scripture in order to be favorable in God's light. And now let's go to James chapter 2. We're going to go to our Old Testament, our New Testament complement. We're going to see how James puts it. And I see we're at our next break. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with the instruction.
can really figure out what your fight is and how you need to fight it. Sometimes you need to feel the pain and sting of defeat to activate the real passion and purpose that God predestined inside of you. God says in Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Hear me well on this day. This day when you have reached the hilltop and you are deciding on next jobs, next steps, careers, further education. You would rather find purpose than a job or a career. Purpose crosses disciplines. Purpose is an essential element of you. It is the reason you are on the planet at this particular time in history. Your very existence is wrapped up in the things you are here to fulfill. Whatever you choose for a career path, remember the struggles along the way are only meant to shape you for your purpose. When God has something for you, it doesn't matter who stands against it. If it's meant for you, God will move someone that's holding you back away from a door and put someone there who will open it for you. I don't know what your future is, but if you are willing to take the harder way, the more complicated one, the one with more failures at first than successes, the one that has ultimately proven to have more meaning, more victory, more glory, then you will not regret it. Press on with pride and press on with purpose and appreciate what God has brought you through.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, the instruction is the poor and chastised God delivers. And we already know that Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 5 that blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. So we know that we're talking about not necessarily physical poverty, but we're talking about refraining from worldliness and being chastised again. God chastens those whom he loves. Those who he corrects, he chastens. So we're aware of that. Listen to how the New Testament complement supports that and connects the dots in James chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. Turn with your Bible sources with me to James chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. And this is what it says. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come unto you assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool, are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, has not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? My precious brothers and sisters, that's telling us, again, that the poor in spirit, it doesn't mean that you are in poverty, but it could. And even at that, we have to respond to them as favorable, that we are to feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked. My brothers and sisters, that is key to what this reasoning of Eliphaz is telling Job, which is correct. But again, he's trying to convict Job and convince Job that he has sinned against God, which is not the case. Now, this is what I want you to get from this particular instruction, that the destitute have a special place in the makeup of God's creation, and we must be sensitive to it in order to please God. In the same way with chastening, don't feel that because God has chastened you or corrected you that you are in God's disfavor. He's doing that to ensure that you will wake up and turn around and obey him. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to now go to back to Job chapter 5 again. We're going to look at chapter 5, verse 18 through 26. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. This is what the instruction says. Remember what God will do for the faithful. My precious brothers and sisters, that this is so critical. We know from Scripture that it's impossible to please God without faith. He that cometh to God must first believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We know that faith without works is dead. My brothers and sisters, it is so mandatory. It is compulsory that we remember what God will do for the faithful. The faithful he will save. And this is what, again, Eliphaz is telling Job, trying to convict Job of his unfaithfulness. Eliphaz is talking in Job chapter 5, verse 18 through 26. Listen to what Eliphaz is saying. For he maketh sore and bindeth up, he woundeth, and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles. Yea, in 7 there shall be no evil touch thee. In famine he shall redeem thee from death. In the war from the power of the sword. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue. Neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh. Neither shalt thou be afraid of the beasts of the earth. For thou shalt be in a league with the stones of the field, and the beast of the field shall be at peace with thee. And thou shalt know that thy tabernacle shall be in peace, and thou shalt visit thy habitation, and shall not sin. Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great, and thy offspring as the grass of the earth. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in its season. All of this is good rationale, but not when you are trying to convince someone of their sin. God will protect the faithful, and you don't know how faithful this individual is at a moment's notice, and that's where the friends of Job got in trouble with citing him for that. So that's what the scripture tells us. Now let's go to Psalms 34, and Psalms 34 is going to amplify this. Listen to what David said in Psalms 34, in verse 15 through 21. Listen to what he says, my precious brothers and sisters. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saves such that be of a contrite spirit. Many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all of his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. My brothers and sisters, you see what David is saying, that the righteous will be upheld. It's the faithful. It is the unfaithful that falter, and that's where the punishment resides. Now let's go to our New Testament complement, and we're going to look at, turn with me to Hebrews, chapter 11, and we're going to read verse 1 through 6 and several other verses, and this also commemorates how important faith is. Listen. Now faith, this is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 through 6. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. But by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I see we're at the last break. Let's take that break, and then we'll complete this instruction.
No found grace in the eyes of the Lord. No found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That is the reason the scripture is recorded. No found grace in the eyes of the Lord. No found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Well, the Lord looked down from his window in the sky and said,
how many of you know the impossible doesn't intimidate God? God isn't offended by your biggest dreams or your boldest prayers. He's offended by anything less.
God will hear your prayer. He will move heaven and earth on your behalf. Mountains will be moved out of the way. So when we come to God, we come boldly. Father, in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus, we come to you in prayer today, and we believe.
Don't forget to pray, but don't be ashamed to pray, and don't be too proud to pray. Prayer changes things. I don't care how dark it looked for you. I don't care what they done said to you. I don't care what the verdict is. I don't care what the haters say. Prayer changes things.
God is honored when we come to him. He's honored when we talk to him. And he's willing to hear and answer our prayer. He says, call unto me. I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. If he can part the Red Sea, knock down the walls of Jericho, and if he can give us the Ten Commandments, he can answer any prayer we pray that fits his will and his plan for our life.
We must begin to believe that God, in the mystery of prayer, has trusted us with a force that can move the heavenly world and bring his power down to earth. If your prayers aren't impossible to you, they're insulting to God. God is ready to act if we'll be bold enough to ask.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're looking at this instruction. Remember what God will do for the faithful. And we know that it's impossible to please God without faith. We just read it in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 through 6. And now we're going to look at verse 32 to 34. And this is what it says, again, concerning how essential faith is. This is what it says. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Simeon or Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. You can see, again, how faith is so critical to our well-being with God. And that's why it's essential that we, as Paul says, walk by faith, and not by sight. And that we should always fight the good fight of faith. And we should also remember what James added, that faith without works is dead. It is essential that we perform faithfully toward God. Of course, in this instance, we're looking at what Job was being told by Eliphaz, his friend, that undoubtedly this wasn't the case with Job, that Job was unfaithful. But we know from reading the book of Job that he was. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, my precious brothers and sisters, that King David said, trust, meaning have faith in the Lord, and you will dwell in the land safely and be fed. And that is a guarantee, my brothers and sisters, and we should understand that faith is a major component to our godliness this side of eternity. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me, if you will, to Proverbs, and we're going to look at chapter 6 in Proverbs, and we're going to read chapter 6, verse 22 through 25, and this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. The instruction is, be careful of what you say. Your words can be misunderstood. My precious brothers and sisters, you are talking about a critical element in our Christian walk, that we must be very careful of what we say because our words can be misunderstood. And that's exactly what may have been occurring with Job's cohorts, that their words were taken out of context because they didn't know that they were speaking erroneously, all right? That's the key. So we must be careful with that, my brothers and sisters. Listen to what Job, now Job is responding to what Eliphaz said to him, and that's why I'm bringing this point up. Job is responding in Job chapter 6, verse 22 through 25. Listen to what Job says. Did I say, bring unto me, or give a reward for me of your substance, or deliver me from the enemy's hands, or redeem me from the hand of the mighty? Teach me, and I will hold my tongue, and cause me to understand wherein I have erred. How forcibly are right words, but what doth your argument reprove? Do ye imagine to reprove words and the speeches of one that is desperate, which are as of the wind? Yea, ye overwhelm the fatherless, and ye dig a pit for your friend. Now, therefore, be content. Look upon me, for it is evident unto you if I lie. Return, I pray you. Let it not be inequity. Yea, return again, my righteousness is in it. Is there inequity in my tongue? Cannot my taste discern perverse things? So Job is telling Eliphaz that he is looking at him in error and that he has talked and said things that are incorrect. And that's why I'm saying that your words can be misinterpreted. You have to be careful with that. And let me show you how that is the case. Turn with me, if you will, your Bible sources to 2 Samuel, chapter 23. We're going to look at verse 14 through 17 and listen to what happened with David and his mighty soldiers and misinterpretation. It's chapter 23 of 2 Samuel, verse 14 through 17. Listen to what it says. And David was then in a hole, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink it thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord, and said, Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three men do. Now, my brothers and sisters, what I'm trying to tell you is you can see they misinterpreted what David. Now, let's go to Matthew. Turn with me, if you will, to the New Testament complement. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 12, Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 through 36 or 37. And this is how Jesus put it about misinterpretation. Listen to what Jesus cited. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. My brothers and sisters, we must be very careful of how we share the word of God, or how we even influence our friends and others because of the possibility of giving them erroneous information. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that discernment, meaning being aware of the circumstances, is vital to an accurate response. And that's where Job's friends fell short of the glory of God, because they did not know that Satan had made a pact with God that he could cause Job to sin if God would him or protect him. And that's exactly what was the case. But we know that Job, in the beginning, before his friends came and were aware of Job, he had lost all of what he had, and he had suffered some sickness. Job said that naked he came from his mother's womb, and naked he will return as he came. And he said, God gave, and God taketh away, and blessed be the name of the Lord. And he also told his wife that should he not receive goodness from the Lord God Almighty, and not also receive the evil from the Lord God Almighty. And in all of these instances, Job did not sin against God. Now, his cohorts did not know that, so they didn't know all of the circumstances. And again, Job said that even though God would slay him, that he would continue to have faith in God. So that is what's key to this question, and that we should be very careful about what we say and do. Okay, that is the last instruction that we're going to take this evening. And my brothers and sisters, before we dismiss, what I would like to say is that the host and I want to continue to thank you and bless you for your continuing participation program and for your encouragement. Good night.